closer.
Welcome back to another week of Northern Exposure. I can't believe a week has already gone by, but I guess time just seems to fly as of late. And we're back once again, ready to roll. And as always, I've chosen a short snippet of music to begin and end with. And today's choice comes from an artist known as Enya. And Enya is very much an alternative type of music format. It's different. I don't think there's anything out there that's quite like it. The song is called Boadicea, and it comes from her album The Celts. If you want to learn a little bit more about Enya, you can check her out on YouTube. If you like this particular music and you'd like to hear more, take a quick spin over to iTunes or whichever MP3 provider you prefer to use, and do a search for Enya. And again, that particular song is Boadicea. So, that being said, why don't we jump right into our regular format, and we're going to take a run around the horn. And what I've done with Around the Horn, as you may or may not know, is I've tried to find five articles in eCanada that are interesting and are something that should be talked about, bring about some points of discussion. And I'm going to start with an article that was written by Kelly Mahoney. Now, Kelly is often found on IRC, great individual. I love talking to her. She always brings some informative and neat ideas to the table. Not everybody knows Kelly, but I'm telling you, when she puts out something, it's generally very thought-provoking. In this particular case, Kelly wrote an article called Thoughts on Income Tax, Import Tax, etc., etc. And it was a discussion around income taxes and import taxes and you know, whether we should be increasing income taxes or changing import taxes, et cetera, et cetera. It's a great read if you want to get an understanding of Canadian economy. Kelly gives an interesting insight on some of the hot-button issues, which, of course, are taxes. So if you haven't had an opportunity to check out that article, please do. You can find it in Kelly Mahoney's newspaper. Just look up her citizen profile, click on the newspaper, and I believe it's the first article. It's the most recent one anyway. Well worth taking a read through. Again, presents some very interesting ideas. I won't spoil it for you. Go ahead and take a read through that. It's definitely well worth looking into. I also want to point out an article that was written by Jacoby, and it was written just yesterday. And initially, this article wasn't in my top five. I had something else in its place, but when this one came out, it sparked my interest and got my attention so quickly. I thought it was something that definitely needed to be pointed out. And as Jacoby is a media mogul, it's very likely that you've already seen this article. However, I wanted to highlight it anyway as part of the Around the Horn piece. The article's called The Addy Lawrence Era. And this is a really interesting article that Jacoby's written because he talks about the evolution or generational changes of the country presidents, et cetera, that come through this game. And what he does in this article is just highlights, should Addy Lawrence get elected, how he would potentially usher in a new era of, or a new generation of country presidency. If you've taken a look at Addy Lawrence's cabinet, as Jacoby highlights, there's definitely a pull away from that comfortable, you know, warm and mushy middle. Kind of pulling away, bringing in some new faces, ushering in a new era of change. And that's not terribly surprising coming from Addy, given that he's done the exact same thing with the Canadian Progressive Front and the Privy Council. He's grooming and preparing the next generation of CPF leaders. He's definitely carrying that theme over into his cabinet. And Jacoby highlights that fact and speaks to a number of other issues, including, you know, amount of time in the game. How old is Addy in terms of game age anyway? In terms of other country presidents who came beforehand, definitely a very interesting article, a great read, well worth looking into. Again, if you haven't checked out Jacoby's newspaper, The Merchant Man, and you probably have, again, he's a media mogul, definitely worth taking a read through that article. So take a look through it. Good stuff. Article number three that I found and I really enjoyed was an article by Chucky Norris and his newspaper, The Norris Times. Chucky, too, I believe, is a media mogul, if I'm not mistaken. He wrote an article that fetched well in excess of 540-some-odd votes. I think it was closer to 550 or maybe even more. I lost count. The article's called Liao Ning, Inbound, Thanks for Moving and Helping Our Bros. It's written in English and French. It speaks to the big, I guess, the big military activity that took place in an attempt to finally capture the Lion King from Serbia. And this, although we weren't successful in yet, we weren't successful this time anyway in terms of capturing Lion King. Chucky once again presents, a very good read around this historical battle, and I think that's partially why it received so many votes. And frankly, when you have an article that fetches that many votes, it's got to be worth checking out. It's certainly worth reading. So if you haven't done so, again, look up Chucky Norris's citizen profile in his newspaper, The Norris Times. Have a read through that article. It's brief. It's not a long read. It's not a TLDR type of thing, but definitely worth reading. And, of course, there is a French translation attached to it as well. So go and check that out. Kind of a newer, I'm going to say kind of newer player, at least in terms of the media front anyway, the Dark Lord himself, and that is the name of the individual who wrote this article, the Dark Lord himself, wrote an article called Daylight Robbery, and it is actually grabbing a lot of attention, and I think for a lot of good reasons. It speaks to the issues of the treasure maps and how individuals are feeling, I'm going to say, feeling cheated by the admins on the treasure map piece, and I can't say I disagree with them. There's been a lot of talk about how we used to automatically get 5 gold for leveling up or getting a super soldier, or, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're seeing a lot of cases where the treasure maps are giving 3.5 gold or maybe 4 gold, and people are feeling cheated by that. And I can't say I blame them, because, truth be told, when you get into the higher levels of the game, and I'm sitting at level 20 right now, it's going to take a long time for me to get to level 21. Excuse me. And when it takes that much time to level up and potentially get your hands on a treasure map, you want to enjoy it. You want to make sure it's going to be good because you've waited a long time for it. Likewise, getting super soldier medals. By the time you get your third one, it's a long climb from 15 to 20. Especially when you're going up 0.02 points a day, if you're not dating Lana. So, this is a great article because it speaks to some of the issues around being robbed by these treasure maps. Obviously, the admins, should be told how people are feeling. We are the consumers of this game. It's up to us to provide the feedback. And this article is a great platform for us to spring off of that and bring to the attention of the admins that, hey, we're not satisfied with this. In my mind, why not make the treasure maps a minimum of 5 gold? You were already giving us 5 gold to begin with, so why not make that the minimum that one can get? That way nobody feels cheated, especially the higher level players who have to wait a long time to even get a treasure map. So make the minimum 5 gold. And then have the bigger prizes out there, the bigger treasures out there. Make them available. But again, giving somebody 3.5 gold after they've waited 2 months or something crazy, or 3 months to level up, to be given 3.5 gold, that's definitely a slap in the face. So go and check out that article. It's written by the Dark Lord himself. You can find him by searching out his profile. Click on his newspaper. Reshout it. Let's talk about it. Let's get it to the attention of the admins. Maybe we could jump on this and kind of get some more media attention for it. So definitely go and check that out. Last but not least, and I'm pointing out this article because I think it's really important, especially for our newer players who are perhaps listening to this podcast, an article by the Ministry of Education written by Angry Mob Men, and it speaks to the mentorship program. So if you haven't already checked out this article, this is a great concept. Angry Mob Man with the Ministry of Education is looking for both mentors and for those who want to be mentored. So if you're a senior player and you want to share that wealth of information that you have and your experience and your knowledge. You want to share that with newer e-Canadians who are just getting themselves sorted out, or maybe they're teenagers and kind of in that, I kind of know what's going on but don't completely know what's going on type of situation. Why not PM the Ministry of Education or PM Angry Mob Man and express to the ministry or to Mr. Mob Man himself that you are interested in becoming a mentor. This is, again, a great opportunity to give back to the community. So if you are that type of an individual who likes to give back and give a little something, definitely a great opportunity for you. If you are a newer player or an in-between player who's kind of, again, kind of knows what's going on but not completely sure just yet, this is a great program for you because it will give you an opportunity to buddy up with a mentor who can help you along the way, answer your questions, give you some advice, just make sure that you continue to enjoy the game, find success, kind of like having a big brother or a big sister, if you will. So, if you are somebody who wants to take advantage of that program, PM the Ministry of Education or PM Angry Mob Man, and I'm sure if you PM one of those two, you'll definitely be given some direction as to how you can get some mentorship from this program. So, definitely worth going to check out. I'm a big fan of the Ministry of Education articles because they help out our newest players, and I think that our newest players need all the help that they can get, and we need to make sure that we are assisting them. News for noobs. Today I want to talk about wellness management, because I think with the onset, and we don't know when V2 is going to hit, but with the onset of V2, wellness management is going to become absolutely critical. We already saw what happened when the changes to the hospital system took place and how it caused some mass confusion and there was some issues with healing and so on and so forth. With the onset of V2, we're going to see the elimination of gifts. Because right now, most people are using gifts for one of two reasons, either to help boost their health, or if you're in the CAF, they're using them to potentially get that sixth fight in. If you're a new player, though, wellness management is even more important. So I'm going to give you some advice and some things to help you maximize your wellness and protect the wellness that you do have. First thing I'm going to tell you, when you go looking for your first job or when you go looking for a new job, ignore the wages. Don't worry about what you're getting paid, at least not in the beginning. Because here's what you really need to be focusing on. You want to look at the Q or quality level of the company that you're going to be working for. And you can determine that based on the number of stars that are beside that company's name. If you are a newer player, you do not want to be working in a Q5 company because your wellness is going to take a hit of 5 wellness points every time that you work there. That is going to be very difficult to recover, especially if you don't have a house or something to that effect. If you're a newer player, I would suggest either a 1 or a 2-star company to start until you're at least a teenager. And when I say teenager, I mean like level 12, 13, 14. As you're getting up there a little bit, then perhaps start looking at the larger Q companies. It's very attractive to jump in right away when you see a really good wage right there, and you're thinking to yourself, why should I make $1.50 a day when I can make $6 a day with this Q5 company or whatever the case may be? Don't do it. Again, lower Q companies will have less impact to your health. Again, a 1-star company only takes away 1 wellness point. And that is going to be a big boon to you when you need to try and keep your wellness up. Secondly, whenever possible, buy the best quality food that you can afford. Especially if you're a newer player and you're under level 12, let's say, do the best that you can to buy the best quality food that you can reasonably afford. Again, you might not be making the most money just yet because your skill sets are going to be a little bit low, but do your best to buy good quality food. Don't cheap out there because that's going to help you in the long term. Last but not least, to help with your wellness management, don't forget about Canadian Health Services. On an almost weekly basis, the prices will change, but if I'm not mistaken, if you are level 12 or lower, you can get free gifts from Canadian Health Services to help bring your wellness up. You can find Canadian Health Services by searching out Citizen Profile Canadian Health Services, or You can look for the two people who are closely associated with that ministry, Saya Innsbruck or James Weens. My suggestion, though, PM Canadian Health Services. Look them up. There's usually an article attached there that gives you all of the information on how you can obtain wellness gifts. So again, to recap for our new players, stay away from Q3, 4, and 5 companies as a new player. Stick to Q1 and Q2 companies. Ignore the wages. Number 2, buy the best quality food that you can afford with your particular salary. Don't cheap out there. And last but not least, check out Canadian Health Services, and if you're under level 12, take advantage of that program. And again, don't be shy about using these services. They're there to help you, and you want to make sure that you take full advantage of them. So there's my little bit of insight and tips on how you can manage your wellness to make sure that you continue to enjoy yourself in this game, continue to grow, and continue to be a contributing member of eCanada. One of the things I introduced last week as part of this podcast was what a section I like to call Hometown Heroes. And Hometown Heroes is going to seek to find an e-Canadian at random, and we're going to profile that individual, do a little bit of a biography on them. Last week we did a biography on Karsten Skerries of the DAL, and as I cycle through the parties for the time being anyway, this time I'm going to profile Tyler F. Durden, a.k.a. TFD. Most people know Tyler, and if you don't know who he is, you're either brand new to this game or you've been living under a rock for the last 6 to 9 months. Anyway, I want to give a profile on TFD, so let's get the ball rolling. Let's look at some of the basic stuff right off the bat. TFD is an 8-time hard worker medal winner, which means he has worked 8 consecutive months and has, you know, obviously made a lot of contributions to the companies that he's worked for. He is a 9-time congressman. There is no doubt that Tyler has his fingerprints all over a lot of the congressional activity and a lot of the laws and legislation that are passed in this country. If you've ever been in Congress, you will have seen that Tyler is a very active individual, definitely has his opinions and makes them very clear to people. But again, 9 times elected into Congress, and I believe at this most recent election, he was the second highest vote getter, next only to Pimp Dallas. So again, definitely an experienced individual and a long-standing member of Congress. He is a media mogul. This means that he has over 1,000 subscriptions to his newspaper. I don't always get hooked in by some of the articles that he writes, but the simple truth is he writes some great articles. Some of them are spectacular and some of them are just good. But the point is, he's definitely worth reading. He's often controversial, often imitated, never duplicated. If you haven't checked out his newspaper, definitely do so. He's a media mogul holder. He is a 3-time Super Soldier Medal winner, which means he's advanced to at least strength level 15. Again, commitment and dedication to becoming a stronger fighter. And most recently, Tyler announced that he had bare-knuckled his way to the rank of field marshal in-game. And congratulations, Tyler, because I know for most of your e-life, you've worked for slave wages. You haven't had the luxury of purchasing large weapons and cue guns and so on and so forth. So this accomplishment is even more special because if you think about it, Tyler's done the majority of this fighting, if not almost all of it, with his bare hands. And he's made it all the way to field marshal. So a hearty congratulations to him on that accomplishment. That is definitely, definitely exciting for him. On the non-medal front, it's important to note that Tyler is a member of the Canadian Progressive Front. He is a member of the Circle of Trust, which is a portion of the Privy Council for the CPF. He is a 5-time consecutive elected party president of the Canadian Progressive Front. For 5 straight months, Tyler was the face and the lifeblood of the Canadian Progressive Front. He is the founder of the party, I believe, is a safe bet. And again, very, very active, very, very dedicated to the game. Staunch e-Canadian. He is a member of the highest order of the Order of Canada. And again, what else can we say? Tyler has almost seen it all, has almost done it all, and even took a run at country presidency. So, and I suspect that one day or another he will find himself in that office. But again, if you're a newer player, or even a long-term player, this is somebody that that you can reach out to ask questions, to learn a few things along the way, to get some experience and some insight. Again, you don't accomplish the things that he has accomplished without breaking a few eggs every now and then, but without knowing what you're doing at the same time. So, again, that's Tyler F. Durden, an E-Canadian hometown hero. Congratulations, Tyler. There is no doubt that your reputation most definitely precedes you. Now, on to something a little more fun. As you know, we have a rapid-fire section in which I basically come up with 10 questions that I throw out to an E-Canadian citizen at random. And I just pick 10 random questions and throw them out there and see what sort of a response I get. And in this particular case, I thought I'd pick on our very own Minister of Health, Mr. James Weens. And so I threw out 10 questions to him, and without further ado, we have the top 10 answers on the board, and here are the questions. I asked James Weens first and foremost, red wine or white wine? And got kind of a surprising answer, and he says, I can't drink. For those who don't know, James Weens has an alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency disorder. So he cannot consume alcohol, so I guess it's neither white wine or red wine for him. Question number two, I asked him, fire or ice? He said ice, because fire is fleeting. Ice lasts a lot longer. I asked him what his favorite holiday was, and he says, my favorite holiday is Christmas, hanging out at home in the middle of winter with family, setting up the tree, playing music all the time, and of course, presents. I asked him, desktop computer or laptop computer, which did he prefer? His response, laptop. I asked him, Warcraft or StarCraft? Survey says, StarCraft 2. James Weens is a StarCraft 2 fan, so if you are a StarCraft player, you have a brother in arms there. Question number six, what is your favorite, it was a two-part question. Question number six was, who is your favorite actor or actress? And he says, don't really watch movies, but I'd say that Johnny Depp is really versatile and amusing. And I would agree. Johnny Depp is definitely amusing, definitely very versatile. I've seen him in a number of different roles. Very versatile actor, no doubt about that. Question number seven, I asked him, what is your favorite movie? And he says, see question six, so I'll really have to think about it. Although he points out, Lord of the Rings trilogy, if I can cheat and use three movies. And you certainly can cheat and use three movies, because as far as I'm concerned, the Lord of the Rings trilogy counts as one great trilogy. I read the books when I was a kid, and I was very excited when the full-blown Hollywood movie came out. I asked him, fruits or vegetables? And his response, fruits. Can't blame you there either, my friend. Not a big veggie guy here either, so I asked him for question number nine, is the tomato a fruit or a vegetable? Tomato, tomato, potato, potato. James says tomatoes are fruits, and I disagree completely because tomatoes are not fruits. Think about it. Here's the argument I've used forever on this particular point. A tomato is a vegetable because if you open a V8, which is an 8-vegetable cocktail, what is the principal ingredient in a V8? That's right, tomato juice. So, it is only logical to assume that a tomato is a fruit. It's not a V7F1, 7 vegetables, 1 fruit. It's a V8, which means all of the contents are vegetables. And therefore, by extension, and I'm going to hold, I hold on to this dearly, tomatoes are vegetables. They're not fruits. Question number 10. I asked James Weens, sherbet or ice cream? He says, sherbet. Ice cream's tasty, but sherbet's healthier. Good choice. I completely agree. I'm a sherbet guy as well, or frozen ice, or whatever you want to call it, or sorbet. Number of different ways to call that, but I agree. Besides, ice cream's horribly loaded with fat, where sherbet is definitely the healthier and safer alternative. So that, my friends, is Rapid Fire with James Weens. I want to thank you for taking the time to answer my questions. I deeply appreciate people being candid and giving me all the information that they can when I fire those questions off to them. I'm now going to move on. I'm going to move on to They Said It. And what I do with this particular thing is I move on to the five funniest comments that I could find. And as I said before, I read a lot of newspapers and I read a lot of articles, and I try to, I even keep track of a lot of the shouts that come through. And the shouts are even more particularly fun because a lot of the times I can't see who the originator of the first comment is. I only see the follow-up comments because maybe I'm not associated with the person who started the whole thing. And every now and then you get one of those funny shouts and you go scratching your head thinking, what has that got to do with her? What is that connected to? So anyway, as we move on to They Said It, I'm going to pick up my five funniest comments. And right off the bat, I'm going to mention one that Dr. Payne, my good friend, came up with first and foremost. I saw a shout this morning in which Dr. Payne says, I need to write a funny quote so Acacia talks about me in his podcast. Any ideas? Congratulations, my friend. You got the mention that you were looking for. Sometimes you don't have to say anything terribly funny at all. Even sometimes just throwing out something like that is all that it takes to get the job done. Number two, Duke Leto commenting on an article that TFD wrote about fisting his way, or bare fisting his way, to field marshal. Duke Leto, never at a loss for words, says TFD loves fisting, and I'm going to leave it at that. I will let you take that however you want to take it, but we'll leave it at that. TFD, speaking of TFD, he posted a comment on an article that I wrote that I thought was quite funny. Some people will say it's very funny. Some people will say, whatever. But I thought it was quite funny. I got a good laugh out of it. TFD comments, voted so goddamn hard, my mouse went through the desk. I'm glad to know that my articles have that much of a reaction for you, TFD, especially coming from you. It's a real honor and a pleasure to know that I evoke that type of emotion in you, that you would put your mouse through your desk in order to vote for my article. I appreciate that. I'm going to take another comment here from Tamas Zudzak. And it was a comment made about the trading card picture of the green Mario that was kind of dressed up to look like Pimp Dollars. Some of you will find this funny and some of you won't, but no matter what, at the end of the day, no matter what side of the fence you're on, this comment is still funny nonetheless. Tamas Zudzak comments on the picture of Pimp Dollars dressed as Super Mario with the green cane, you forgot about the bag of someone else's money in that card. And again, no matter what side of the fence you fall on, you got to admit that that's definitely funny. Although some would argue that maybe the playing card should have been TemBC if we were going to talk about walking around with people's bags of money. But anyways, last but not least, and definitely one of the comments I enjoyed the most, Girk writes in the same article that TFD wrote about barefisting your way to field marshal, Girk writes, I guess bare knuckle punching a brick wall is better than pounding your head against it. I can't disagree in the slightest. There are more than one occasion in which I've felt like smashing my head against the wall, but Girk, you hit the nail on the head right there. Better to be pounding your fists than pounding your head. So congratulations on throwing that comment out there. I got a good laugh out of that. And that, as they say, they said it. And those are my five favorite comments from the news of the week, etc., etc. Moving on to this and that, this is my opportunity to kind of touch on a couple of things that are going on in eCanada, or just a chance for me to have a short diatribe on you know, whatever issue of the day I wanted to talk about. And I want to talk about the treasure maps again, because this article really, for me, really got me a little bit wound up when I read it about the daylight robbery. There are two thought processes going through my head. I really liked the old system where we got the guaranteed 5 gold. Although I will admit, the introduction of the treasure maps definitely added an extra level of excitement to the whole thing. Because instead of just knowing that you were going to get 5 gold, the idea that there were going to be like 3 choices on a map, and you know, you could possibly walk away with a treasure of the ages, or a king's ransom in gold, or whatever the case may be, was definitely exciting, because it was just, it's like buying a scratch ticket, a lottery ticket. And you're scratching away thinking, am I going to get the $2 prize? Am I going to get nothing? Or am I going to win that $50,000 or $500,000 or whatever the case, the big prize happens to be? And I like the treasure maps, don't get me wrong, but as I commented before, one of the things I'd like to see changed with them is I'd like to see the minimum gold installed on there, make the minimum gold 5 gold. And again, I say it selfishly because I've been playing this game for some time and I don't often get a chance to get a treasure map because it takes me a long time to do something to accomplish that. So one of two things I think should happen, because again, the players who've been around for a long, long time are going to really feel cheated when they get such a small prize. And for those who are newer, you know, there should be an opportunity to get at least 5 gold, because as you know, when you're newer, money means a lot. It can help with a lot of different things. And really, it's not going to kill the admins, you know, to just simply give everybody 5 gold at least with a treasure map. I mean, hell, you worked for it. You've obviously put a lot of effort into getting it. Give us a little something in return. If not that, then open up other ways to get a treasure map. You know, give us other opportunities so that for those of us who have to wait months at a time before we get one, if we're going to end up stuck with this 3.5 gold, give us one a little more frequently to balance it out. I don't know which of the two options is best, whether it's just easier to say make it a minimum 5 gold for each treasure map or introduce new ways to get one. In my mind, I'm thinking that a minimum 5 gold is probably the best thing to do, because, again, that way those folks who've waited a long time, you know, don't feel cheated and still have the excitement and the fun of knowing that, hey, I might get more than 5 gold. I might find that king's ransom in gold, or the ultimate treasure chest, or, you know, a treasure of the ages, or whatever the case may be. I don't know about all of you, but I'd be interested to see your comments in the comment section of this podcast. Tell me what you think. Should we create, or should we lobby to have more opportunities to get treasure maps? Or should we simply lobby to have a minimum 5 gold? Should it even be a minimum 5 gold? Do we need to change it at all? I'd like to hear your opinions. And, you know, again, change doesn't happen unless people raise their voices. And this is a great opportunity for us to raise our voices and express our thoughts. And this is an issue that is e-Republic-wide. This is not exclusive to e-Canada or Reliance or anything else. This is the, you know, the entire game, and I'm sure there are citizens of e-Hungary who feel the same way. You know, citizens of e-Russia, you know, e-Indonesia, any of the Phoenix countries as well probably feel the same way. This is a great opportunity for the players of e-Republic to come together on a common issue, one that affects all of us, and to perhaps evoke some change. So, share your ideas, share your thoughts in the comments section. And again, make sure you check out that article by the Dark Lord himself, Daylight Robbery. It speaks to the very frustration of the issue, and it's a great springboard. So if you haven't already done so, check it out. And again, leave your comments in the comment section. At the end of every podcast, I'm going to be choosing a quote or a poem or something to give us a little bit of culture, a little bit of education, a little bit of inspiration. And I'm going to try and pick something that kind of speaks to the current environment in e-Canada or something to that effect. And I've chosen a poem this time. And I chose this poem because, well, I chose this poem by Robert Frost because for me, it spoke to the challenges of the oncoming V2 that we know is coming at some point but don't know when it's coming. And I think it also ties in nicely to what Jacoby wrote when he talked about the generational change for our next country president, whoever that's going to be, and how there's a potential for that generational shift to occur. So the poem I'm going to share with you is called The Road Not Taken, and it goes a little something like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I marked the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Thank you, eCanada. It has been an absolute pleasure to have the opportunity to once again address you in this podcast. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoy doing it. As I've said numerous times before, this is your podcast. This is your show. I am simply the vessel in which it is delivered. If there's something you like, tell me about it. If there's something you don't like, definitely tell me about it. If there's something you want me to add, change, definitely tell me about it. I do this for you. It's a labor of love, but again, it's your show. eCanada, thank you for tuning in. This has been Northern Exposure for the 28th of May, 2010, and I have been your host, Acacia Mason. Thank you, and good day.